Our telephone line is making flashing things. I think that means Chad Finn is with us. And so we'll get a chance to connect with him right here and find out what's going on. Hello there, Chad. How are you this afternoon?
I'm cursing the iPhone this afternoon. I don't know what's going on with this thing today.
Well, you're here. You're here now, and that's all that matters.
That's right. Yep, we made it work out. I was reading on the internet today, Rich, that Chris Sale is your least favorite Red Sox player. He's chirping Clay Buckles.
Yes, I can't stand it.
Are never wrong, especially on Twitter. Is that true?
Yes, I despise Chris Sale. I mean, I've disliked him for some time, but we're just saying he's cursed. I don't know what it is. May look, am I overplaying this? Sure, absolutely. But I had no faith in him contributing anything to this team this year. So him getting hurt in his second start back is the least surprising thing I've seen all year.
Well, at least it was a line drive and not a ligament popping or something.
Right,
he looked
right.
Pretty good in that first start. I was relatively enthused, but boy, he's snake bit, and feels like they're talking about maybe him pitching this year. That's pretty grim considering it's July, but I guess a broken finger on the pitching hand takes a while.
So let me ask, because I've seen various people say this out in the online world, which again is never wrong, is this the worst signing in Red Sox history?
Oh, no way. No. I mean, at least he was good for a while,
Right, he's not Carl Everett.
No, he was a miserable guy on top of everything. Carl Crawford, I think, was probably up there, $127 million for a guy who was redundant with Jacoby Ellsbury. And you got the warning with Carl Everett from his manager that you got from the Cardinals when Edgar Renteria came here, which was, I'm not sure his personality's cut out for that market. That's what La Russa said about Renteria. Joe Madden said the same thing about Crawford, and it turned out to prove right. And, Pablo Sandoval was the bad idea from the beginning.
Oof.
And he was atrocious here. He would be pretty high on that list with me too. But Sale certainly up there for some people, you apparently being one of them.
And I felt so good after the win Saturday night. It seemed to be such a Friday night, such a character win coming from behind, the hustle by Xander Bogaerts to get him the win in extra innings. I was feeling pretty good about things, but now after the last 2 days and now a record of 0-10-1 against division opponents in series, how do you have any hope going forward?
I think you have a lot of hope. They're two games up on the Orioles, for one thing. not in last place. It's pretty grim because they've been negligent with the roster this year. When they had the great June and turned this thing around after the slow start, Heimblum should have been proactive in replacing Dalbec and replacing Jackie Bradley as a relatively everyday outfielder. I think those guys, looked it up this morning for my column tomorrow, I think they have 533 plate appearances between them this year. And that's just that no contending team can get away with that. You've got a 7-man lineup.
Yeah.
The other thing that they do that's really frustrating is they really emphasize versatility, but the guys are bad at the positions they're putting them at, and they're not that good as overall ball players anyway. It's great that Christian Arroyo can play all over the place, and you can put Franchi Cordero at first base, but they're not good. They're bad defensive players and not really productive offensive players. So
right. Inadequate at six positions is not really a selling point.
No, it isn't. No. And then you're going to watch the All-Star game tomorrow night. You're going to see three Red Sox, Devers, Bogaerts, and Martinez. And there's a decent chance only one of them is here next year, and all of them could be gone in 2 years. So, I'm really curious if this team intends to have any superstars going forward, because the Rays model, they win 90 games a lot. They've won 90 games 8 times since 2008. They haven't won a World Series. You can only get so far when you don't have stars on your roster. And I think last year was the real peak with what they can do with this kind of team construction, where you're just sort of filling in the gaps and looking for bargains around the good players that you do have. Getting within two games of the World Series when everything lined up right. I think that's the pinnacle for the way that Bloom seems intent on building this team. And they do some things really well. The farm system's rich now. They're really good at finding players who really haven't done anything anywhere and getting them to come in and thrive here. Whitlock last year, Schreiber this year. They're going to continue to do that, but if you're not going to pay the high-end players, and so far we don't have any indication that they're going to, you're not going to compete for World Series, and that's the bar around here.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. So we're 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. They're still in the thick of it, despite the weekend, because almost everybody's still in it with the extra wild card team. So they can't really be sellers, can they, at the break?
I think they can, and completely unemotionally, I think that they probably should. It depends how far you want to go with it, though. I mean, Eovaldi and J.D. Martinez would have a lot of appeal, and they've given no indication that they intend to bring back either of those guys. They haven't talked to Eovaldi. It's pretty clear J.D.'s going to move on. The tipping point is Bogart. Because he's the most appealing player they would have by far. He can opt out after this year, so you don't really know what the teams would be willing up to give up in a return. But trading him is the white flag in a lot of different ways. But I think unemotionally, and there's no emotion in the way they build this team, probably the smartest thing to do is move on from some guys who aren't going to be here next year.
Yikes. and I understand the model, but Boston is not Tampa Bay. This is not that same type of market. Is this a directive from ownership that they need to continue to cut costs?
That's what we're going to find out. They spend. I mean, they have a $200 million payroll right now. A lot of that's left over from Dombrowski, obviously. Chris Sale is a big chunk of that, of all these. Good money. You know, Xander's doing okay. He's underpaid for what he is, but $120 million over 6 years. They signed Story, but Story was discounted at $140 million, up to $160 million if it all works out, compared to what Lindor got a couple years ago from the Mets, what Seager got from Texas, and relative peers. And it's the kind of money Bogarts probably deserves, even though he's going to be going into his 30s. There's no indication at all that they have any intention of paying that kind of money. People are beating up on Juan Soto because he turned down $400-something million. Well, guess what? He's going to get a much higher average annual value than what the Nationals offered, and Rafael Devers is going to get similar money. Not quite as much, but you know, we hear Buster Olney say the Red Sox and Devers are 9 figures apart. Well, are they going to close that gap in a year and a half? I don't know. So their model should be the Dodgers, finding bargain players, the Chris Taylors and Justin Turners of the world, having a great farm system that continually feeds the roster, and then spending for elite talent. They have 5 players over $20 million, 3 more over $17 million. That's what the Red Sox should strive to be if they actually intend on winning World Series.
All right, on a brighter note, Mac Jones, apparently a new man. Is he on the Tom Brady diet?
I don't know. He ate ice cream the other day for a promotional thing.
So yeah, but it was a Hood ice cream promotion, right?
Yeah, I think he liked it, though. You know, he used to man avocados in it. But yeah, I mean, it just confirms what we thought about him last year and what we heard about him when he came in the league out of Alabama, which is that he was going to work really hard, very smart player, was going to really dedicate himself to being an outstanding NFL quarterback. And yeah, he's in better shape last year than he was at Alabama, and he's in better shape now than he was as a rookie. And I know people think he might hit the wall a little bit second year without Josh McDaniels around. I think he's just going to keep getting better and better. He's going to improve his arm strength. He's been working with people like Dom House. He's already crazy accurate. He's got a rapport with the receivers, and there's no number one, but it's a fairly deep group of players on their offense that can contribute. I think they're better than people think on offense. Defense is another matter, but I feel like he's going to have a really, really good season and probably play at a Pro Bowl level.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Chad, I know you've got to go do the big jab. I don't want Javier to put out a hit on me, so we'll let you go. Thank you, as always, for visiting with us, and we'll do it again soon. Welcome back from vacation, too.
Yeah, Javier's on vacation this week, so okay. I can get away with it. We can talk for another half hour. Good to be back, Rich. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sean. Sean. You're not Sean, you're Chad. Thank you, Chad. We'll see you soon.
Is that McAdam?
Yeah.
Who I am?
Yeah, McAdam. He's coming on later in the week to talk about his book.
Oh, he's a great guy.
I confuse my great writers sometimes.
I'll take it. Thanks.
You got it. See you, Chad. Chad Finn of the Globe. It's